Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Joy of the Lord on this cold Wednesday night. And actually, where I'm at, it is actually a little warmer than it has been the last several days. I think we're at around 35 degrees this evening, and that's warm compared to how it has been. So we're going to jump into the study of spiritual gifts here in 1 Corinthians. And, you know, I'm going to, as we go into this, I'm going to ask you to stay open to the teaching of the Lord, okay? Because I'm quite certain that whatever denomination you belong to, or if you consider yourself to be non-denominational, whatever, I'm quite sure that your church has a viewpoint about spiritual gifts, all right? So we are going to knock down traditions. We are going to blow all that stuff out of the water. We're not going to worry about what our church, our pastor, our concordances, our books that we've read, what any of them have had to say. We're going to look solely at what Scripture says about spiritual gifts. And we have chapter, 12, 13, and 14, and I think it goes into it in 15 or so as well, a little bit. So about spiritual gifts, and it's in other places in Scripture as well. So we are going to talk about this, and it may take us a month of Wednesdays to get through it. You know, we may go into this for the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I don't know. I mean, we've got a lot here. Or the Holy Spirit may say, listen, I'm going to get you through this quickly. I just don't know, to be quite honest. It's up to him. And that's what I'm going to do, is allow him to be the teacher as well. Let me tell you that I've been on both sides and in the middle in this teaching. And when I say that, I mean, you know, I've been under pastors who have taught this from many, many different viewpoints. And frankly, I don't care what they had to say. All I care about is what God has to say. Heavenly Father, we ask for your teaching and your teaching only. We want you to open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to what your word says about spiritual gifts. And we just ask that we be open to your teaching, that we be open to the Holy Spirit telling us exactly what you want each of us to hear. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And, you know, it's interesting. We're going to get right into it immediately. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, if we remember back in the beginning of this letter, this epistle from Paul, he is answering questions. Two things are going on in this epistle. He's answering questions that they had asked, and he's also giving them information about things that he has heard about them. So we really have both things going on in this letter that he has written to the Corinthians, all right? So this is what's happening. He's telling them, look, in answer to your questions, this is what I have to say. And I'm also going according to what I've heard that you have going on there. Okay? So let's start with, I just realized I had my my microphone tipped up, so I hope you could hear me there. I hope I was, I've never been accused of being too quiet, so I would assume that it was loud enough, but I'm just hoping that it actually was, okay, and that you could hear it. All right. If not, I would imagine you were able to turn the sound up, so you might have to turn it down a little bit now because I have it down in front of me. All right. So he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. In other words, so he's telling them, listen, I've got some things I need to really teach you here, and it's important that you listen, right? Okay. So he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. So he's saying, listen, before you were following after the wrong things. You were following after false gods, right? Things that wouldn't speak to you. They weren't going to speak to you because they were false gods. They were dumb idols, right? So he says, therefore, he says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what he's telling them is this. Listen, those two go together. The Holy Spirit and Christ go together. So if you know Christ, then you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you know Christ. This is what he's telling them. He says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he's saying, listen, you know, yes, there are going to be, he's still talking about these spiritual gifts, which he brought up in verse 1. He says, there are going to be different types of gifts, but they all come from the Holy Spirit. He says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Here we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? In 4, 5, and 6. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he says, all of them are working through us in spiritual gifts, in ministries, in the activities that you do through the church. Because they are all one and the same, you see. The Holy Spirit, Christ, God, they are all working through us to bring forth the spiritual gifts, the ministries, the diversities of activities. These are all the same. They all work through us in order for us to be able to edify the church, right? Okay. So he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, and this is exactly what I've been talking about in the last minute here, the manifestation of the Spirit, so the way that the Holy Spirit works through us, is given to each one for the profit of all. So that the way that these spiritual gifts, the way that these ministries work through us, is so that it will profit the entire church. It will work for the entire church. It will edify the whole church. It's not so that it will edify you. It's not so that it will edify me. Our spiritual gifts are not given to us so that it will help us individually. They're given to us so that we can work them for, so that they can be worked for others. The Holy Spirit You know, it's amazing how, and this is why it's so important for us to look at all this, as I said, from God's viewpoint, not from any church. We don't go according to traditions, pastors, denominations, non-denominations, churches, etc. It is what God wants from us, what God wants for us. It has nothing to do with what we want. If it was about what we want, then yes, it would be for the edification of self. But as verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, if we were to look at all the denominations of churches, all the churches today, let me say 99% of the church today, I maybe have seen, one or two churches in my lifetime that believed in spiritual gifts for the profit of the church. Now, I just said two words there, and I don't want you to take them to mean what most people believe they mean. First of all, profit. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about uplifting the church. Second of all, church. And when I say uplifting, I'm not talking about lifting them up on some pedestal, but bringing them to God, you know, bringing them up to a higher relationship with God. Okay. Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about a group of people that come and worship within one church building. I'm talking about the church of Christ. All of the people who know Christ. That's what it is to profit. Now, that may be a local church at the time, right? It certainly includes that. It definitely includes that. So it is part of that church. It's part of the church, but it isn't all of that. So it includes the local church that encompasses. When we talk about the church, we're talking about all of the saved people in the world. So these spiritual gifts are for the edification of the church. The spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to me are for the edification of the church, meaning anyone who I encounter, who is A, presently a Christian, or B, who will be a Christian. Because in God's eyes, they already are. Yeah, that's going to be hard for some of you. See, God already knows who is going to turn to him. Does that mean that he has little puppet strings and forces it? That's not what that means. But he already has that knowledge. So to him, they already are in the Christian family because he already knows. So if, let's say that Joe Schmo listens to this today or next week or whatever, and God knows that he's going to be listening. So the Holy Spirit can give me wisdom and information and what have you to use today according to the Holy Spirit, according to the spiritual gifts that he has given me, so that I can impart that wisdom to the person that's going to be listening 8 months from now, who God already knows is going to be saved. let me be a little more clear. For instance, let's say that the Holy Spirit has given me the spiritual gift of evangelism. Okay? I'm just making an example here. And he says, has decided that today's preaching, he knows that Joe Schmo is going to be listening to this one, just this one, 6 months from now. He's going to come on and he's going to listen to it. And God knows that it's the one that is going to, it's the one that he's going to be specially convicted by. The Holy Spirit and the words that he listens to on that day are going to combine, spiritually and perfectly to get that man to change his mind, to repent, and for his heart to break for Christ. Okay? So the Holy Spirit can give me the words to say so that I will give that information out onto this particular taped broadcast so that when that man listens 6 months from now, all that will come together for him. So this is why, this is what these spiritual gifts do. They all come together for the edification of the church. They work together to glorify God. Now, is that the only situation that that works in? Of course not. I'm just giving an example. Okay? God can use, just like Christ healed the sick. You know, did he heal every single person that was in that city? No. He healed certain sick people. All were healed. If we go, and I'm gonna do a teaching on this someday, because they all were every single person who was healed. If you go back and you look all these up, Christ would say, "Your faith has healed you." See, it had to do with faith. There was always faith involved. It wasn't just that Christ, you know, waved his hand over the top of somebody, you know, waved a little magic wand, or, you know what I mean? There was this faith combined with God, combined with Christ. Now, that's not to say that he couldn't have done it, you see, because God spoke the world into existence. God can do anything. I mean, he could speak and this entire earth, you know, all of us could out of existence, right? We could all die in a flash. He could speak and all of us could be healed from every single thing that is wrong with us. He could do that. Christ could come back down to earth right now. And in a moment, you know, everyone could see him coming down and he could speak and we would all be healed and we would all be saved. He has the ability to do that. He has that ability. But that's not how it works. There is this need for us to partake in that. God wants us to come back to him. And so he gives us these gifts, these spiritual gifts, so that we will use them to go out and bring others to him as well. Not for our glory, but because we see the need for God's glory to be manifested over the earth, for others to see God's glory in us, not our glory, not anything that we do. This is very, very important here. If I don't get anything else out today, out of this 1 Corinthians 12, I want to make sure that it's important that we see that the most important thing first and foremost about spiritual gifts is that it is not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. We are just a tool, okay, in God's arsenal, if you will. Spiritual gifts are a tool. We are a tool. With all of these things God uses to make His plan come to fruition. He doesn't need us as individuals. He uses us in the very, you know, and I've actually heard people say, well, that's, you know, that's a horrible thing to say. God uses us. No, it's not a horrible thing to say. It is a wondrous thing to be used by God. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you should be praying that God finds ways to use you to bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ. All right? So it is important that we realize, very important we realize, that spiritual gifts are not in any way to bring glory to us. They're not for us to try to manifest anything, to try to work anything up, to try to, you know, there's one place that Paul says, you know, that we should want to have spiritual gifts. Yes, I agree. We should want spiritual gifts, seek them out, but not, again, not for ourselves. And this really is what Paul is trying to get across here, that look, this is not about you. And this is what Paul has been trying to, really, if you look at all of his epistles, this is what he says. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the love of God. It's walk away from the law and all this focus on self. It's never about you. It's never about me. It's always about Him. Anytime we get caught up in trying to make it about ourself, in trying to do something on our own, then we are taking the focus off of Him. And this is what spiritual gifts are all about. They are about putting the focus on Him. They're always about putting the focus on Him. And when we try to take that focus off of Him, see, this is why we have issues in the church today with, what shall I call them? I'm just going to call them what it is, with fake spiritual gifts, okay? In other words, people going out and trying to fake tongues, trying to fake miracles, fake healings, trying to fake prophecy, trying to fake all this kind of thing, okay? Or we have the opposite side. We have people going out and saying spiritual gifts don't even exist anymore. There are no spiritual gifts that include healing and tongues and all that kind of thing. And the reason they say that is because they can't make it happen. They can't work it up out of their own, you know, out of their own will. They can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps and heal somebody. They can't do it. You see, it's both sides are doing the same thing. Both sides are guilty of the same thing. Blaming each other
They're both blaming each other for doing what they're each doing. Well, you're just making this happen yourself. Well, so are you. So are you. They're both doing the same thing, just in a different way. It's just in a different way. They're both trying to force their own will upon God. One is saying God's miracles no longer exist. God's spiritual gifts don't exist. And so we are going to pound that down right into the ground. We're not going to let that happen. We are going to quench the spirit. We are going to be firm in our beliefs of not allowing anything that isn't very traditional and very, 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 what's the word I want? Stern and, you know, outwardly staunch and this kind of thing. None of that is going to come out of us, boy. We're going to make sure that we have the old traditional ways still set. On the other side, they're saying, nope, we're going to whoop and holler and we're going to speak in tongues and we're going to prophesy and we're going to heal people, even if we have to pretend to do it, even if we have to do it in our own will, because that's what scripture says we should be doing. Okay. You're still doing the same thing. You're still in the law. You're still in doing things by your own will. You're still forcing something instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. Both sides are guilty of the same sin. Yep, I'm calling it what it is. It's sin. It's not having faith in Christ alone to do the work. It's not having faith in Him to do the work in you. That is the problem with both sides of this spiritual gift argument. If you're not going to trust in Him, but you're going to trust in your tradition of your church, then you're not trusting in Christ at all. You have to go back to this book and see what God says. Because starting back where we were in 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. It doesn't say through your flesh. It doesn't say through something that you figured out on your own. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now let me tell you, I have heard churches saying, well, we have to take all these out, this word of knowledge and this gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues. Okay. Let me tell you, if you want to take all these out in chapter 12, let's make sure you take them all out. Here's one right in the middle of those, faith. So make sure if you're going to take out all of those that you remove faith. Mm-hmm. Those who say you have to remove out all of these 1 Corinthians 12 gifts of the Spirit, make sure you take faith out. We can't keep faith anymore. Right? I mean, you want to remove all those. You can't pick and choose, people. You can't pick and choose what words of scripture you want to remove and what ones you want to keep. You don't get to do that. This is your Bible, like it or not. And if you want to take out a couple words, then just take your whole Bible and throw it in the trash. Burn it. Get rid of it. I mean, you don't get to just pick. I don't care what your church says. I'm sorry. I don't care what your church tradition is telling you. I don't care what your pastor preached to you. Yep, I know. I'm coming on a little strong today. I know. But I'm telling you, be like the Bereans. Do not listen to one pastor, one denomination, one church, one whatever. Go to the Word of God. And don't listen just to me. Go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Now, if you want to go in and start blacking out verses, okay, do that. God's not going to be happy about it. And he's, I would say that you're going to end up in Hebrews, right? I mean, and if you aren't, you know, you're going to be in Hebrews 12. And if you aren't in Hebrews 12 because of taking words out of scripture, then I'll go back to where we were last week and I'll say, you know, you might want to take a look at yourself and decide whether you are worthy or unworthy. I mean, are you in Christ or aren't you? I'm not saying you're not in Christ because you don't agree with me. I'm saying you're not in Christ if you don't agree with Scripture. So get rid of all your preconceived ideas. Get rid of everything that your church, your pastor, the books that you've read, okay, other than Scripture, have said to you, and read the Bible. Now, I don't care if you disagree with me. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. You can disagree with me all you want to, but don't disagree with the Bible. Don't disagree with God. And if you want to say, well, because I've heard this kind of nonsense, well, you know, the Bible has changed over the years, therefore it might not be exactly perfect. Okay, then go back and check in an earlier version. Go back and read, because I've done this, read a translation that shows you side by side. I have one of these, by the way. A side-by-side translation from, you know, the Hebrew to English, the Greek to the English. Go, just read it side by side. It's going to take a while. You know, I have one of these, and every once in a while I will go through just because I want to see, okay, exactly what does this say word for word if I'm a little confused about something, okay? So go back and look. Read it. The entire chapter, word for word. Read it for yourself. It's not going to change. Yes, there are going to be some words that are similar, but maybe a little different because, you know, like if you read a King James version, I have a new King James, very close. But if you read a King James version, you might have an old English word, okay? Or, you know, something might be just a smidge different. But what I'm saying to you is that if you are having difficulty with why one verse doesn't fit with another one, it could be because the traditions of your church aren't fitting with what God has to say. That's what I'm trying to tell you. All right. So, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, I don't think it's any accident that faith comes right smack dab in the middle of all these other ones. You know, isn't it like he knew that at some point people were going to try to say, yeah, but those don't exist anymore? Okay, well, what do you do with faith then? Right? To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. So not as we want. If you are sitting around saying, you know, I want to be able to heal people. And God really knows that the reason you want to be able to heal is because you would love to have that fame, right? You are the type of person that wants to be able to heal people because you want to make sure that you are seen by others as this healer. You're probably not going to get that gift. And there are probably a lot of people out there today who would want it for that reason. So, you know, that's going to keep him. Nobody's going to get that gift if that's the reason they want it. Right? They're not going to get it. If he knows that that's why they want it, and he does know. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Carl, I'm going to pull you on for just a moment. Carl, you there? Carl, are you there? No? Okay. Okay. I thought he was there with me. I'm going to play a short ad because I have to be away from So I'm going to play a short ad while I'm away. And hopefully I will be back in time. Let me just see if I can find one that I think might fit in here. Okay, there we go.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I had a little emergency here. So, all right. For the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. All right, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, so what we're, I mean, he emphasizes this, the Holy Spirit, so much in this, and we have to realize that this is the situation here that we're talking about, that it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's never about us. It's never about us. It's always about the Holy Spirit. For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And this is what else we talked about previously here back in verse 7, that we spent quite a bit of time talking about, lingering on, that it's when we're talking about who it edifies, it is the entire church. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, what he's saying here is, listen, just because you say that you're not a part of the church, that just because you try to claim that you are an individual going out and doing things your own way, all right, doesn't mean that that's truly what you are. Always part of the body of Christ. And your spiritual gifts must be used to edify the entire church in some way. Now, does that mean that it has to be a particular local church? It does not. I know, I might be hit by someone for that, but that's not what that means, because listen, maybe you are an evangelist who is a traveling evangelist, right? I mean, this used to be this way many years ago. People would, listen, that's how Paul was, right? I mean, he wasn't at just one church. He would go evangelizing all over. He would go, remember, he went to Corinth, he went to Ephesus, he went many, many places preaching the gospel. Now, yes, he sent letters back to these different churches and whatnot, but he was not a particular pastor of a particular church. He was a traveling evangelist, not a pastor of a church. And his spiritual gifts, whatever they specifically were, I mean, we could probably look at Paul and, goodness, we don't know. I mean, we just don't know. But I have to say that if it wouldn't surprise me if Paul had every spiritual gift as close as he was to God. That wouldn't surprise me at all. That wouldn't surprise me at all, or at least if he had everyone throughout his ministry. The Holy Spirit might, you know, give him each one as needed. And certainly he can do that with us. But what he's saying is, just because you don't find yourself to be a part of the body in the way that some people are, you know, maybe you live out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and so you say, well, I don't go to a particular church because I live so far away and this and that and whatever. Okay, well, that's all right. That's not a problem. But you still are a member of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will give you a spiritual gift, at least one, to use for the glory of God. Now, what that gift is between you and God. And he is going to make it clear to you what that gift is and how he wants you to use it. How he wants you to use it, you see. So I think it's very important that as we go through this study of spiritual gifts, that we open up our spirit, our hearts, to the Holy Spirit's teaching, and instead of trying to put ourselves into a particular spiritual gift that we think we might like, right? So, or that we think we have, or that someone else has told us we have, that we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. I want to share something with you here. You know, I believed that I had a gift of teaching, and I'm not talking about what I do here, okay? This is not what I expected to do at all. Although I must say that when I was a preteen, okay, 11, 12, and then 13 even, okay, I thought I was going to be a preacher. And then something happened to take me away from the church and whatnot. It's a very long story, but and that's okay because the church that I was going to wouldn't have been where I wanted to be anyway. They don't really believe. So they don't believe in salvation through Christ, et cetera. It's a long story again. But I moved far away from that. And then when I came back, when I actually came to Christ, I thought that I was going to be used by God in a totally different way. I did not believe that this sort of ministry that I have now would be how he would use me, because I didn't feel that I was acceptable enough to God. I didn't feel that I had enough education to do this, enough education, you know, in Bible, you know, that I had the proper Bible education and this and that. I have plenty of education, but it has nothing to do, you know, with him. And I didn't accept the Holy Spirit, you know, that God would just be able to do it through me. And so I had my own ideas of what my spiritual gift was based upon what I wanted to do. But interestingly, God allowed me to go through trials and, you know, as if I hadn't been through enough in my life already. And I went through a lot of things in order for God to show me, look, this is what I want you to do for me. This is the spiritual gift I'm giving you. And I have to say that I fought it. And so what I'm telling you is you might be fighting the spiritual gift that God has for you. You may feel like you are not a speaker, that you are not able to get up in front of people or to be on a radio station or to, you know, lead a small group. Maybe you feel like, you know, I would be so nervous. I would never be able to do it. I would fall apart. But see, the thing is that you don't have to do it. God is going to do it through you. These are the gifts that God gives us. It has nothing to do with talents. It's not about natural talents or whatever that you have, you know, like playing piano. Listen, you may be a great singer and or be able to play the piano really well or whatever, but that's not your spiritual gift. That's nowhere in here. That's not your spiritual gift. And I know that there are going to be people out there that are going to say, well, that's just not right. I know plenty of people who the way that they reach Christ is through their singing and whatever. Well, I'm glad for them. But that's not their spiritual gift. That isn't it. I'm sorry. But there's nowhere in here that it says singing is a spiritual gift or playing music. It's just not. That's not a spiritual gift. Now, does that mean that it's not a good talent? No, that's not what that means. I mean, God may use you through your music. He can use you through your music to use your spiritual gift, okay? Like maybe your spiritual gift is teaching or is word of knowledge or is word of wisdom, or maybe it is faith. Maybe that is your spiritual, whatever. Maybe it's working of miracles. Maybe, who, I don't know. All right? And there are many more. You know, there's teaching. There are plenty of spiritual gifts. But he may use your gift of music to also use your spiritual gift in ministry. Maybe you have the gift of music, the gift of singing, whatever, so that you can stand up and give testimony every single time you sing in a church, in a concert, and wherever, whatever. Maybe it will bring people to you at church services. Maybe they will come up and want to talk to you and, you know, boy, I really loved your singing. Thank you. Let me share, you know, with you what God has done for me and, you know, through my singing. You see, he may use your singing in some other form of ministry. So it's, you know, don't add to scripture either. Don't say, well, I know it doesn't say it here, but my spiritual gift is my singing. It's not. But that doesn't mean God can't use it. We must stick to scripture. Don't add from it. Don't take away. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, just because you are not in a particular church every day doesn't mean you're not of the body. But we have pastors who will say that. We have other people who are in churches who will try to tell you that. Well, you're not in my local church. You don't go to church every week. You're not part of the body. That's not true. It doesn't mean that. You know, I don't know where you stand. You know, if you're an evangelist or if you are if you're housebound, maybe you don't go for whatever reason. Maybe you haven't found a church in your area yet that really preaches the gospel. Maybe you listen to a TV preacher. Maybe you go on the internet and listen to somebody who you love. Maybe you get together in a Bible study every week. I don't know. But don't let anybody else tell you or make you believe that you're not part of the body just because of where or how or who you worship with or who you don't worship with. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So if the whole body were Lily of the Valley Episcopal Church, okay, then no one else would be part of the body, right? Well, we know that's just not true. You know, I don't know. Listen, I'm not pointing fingers here at any particular church, okay? And I'm not saying that any particular one is Christian or isn't today. You know, each one has to answer for itself. Each person has to answer for themselves. Pointing out here, listen, you have to be right with God. And you know whether or not the Holy Spirit is in you. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, we can't tell others in the body that they are useless because of what they do, because of what their spiritual gifts are. And yet this is exactly what's going on. This is going on. We have churches who claim to be part of the body, who will tell people with certain spiritual gifts, we have no need of you. And in fact, we'll tell them, if you believe in those spiritual gifts, then you aren't even of the body. And we'll go so far as to say, and you are of Satan. Now, let's go the other side. There are those who claim to have certain spiritual gifts, and they may or may not have them. Some may not, and maybe, I don't know, okay? I'm going to say that there are some that I have seen that are not displaying spiritual gifts according to Scripture. Okay? And we're going to get to that as we go along here. Now, does that mean that they don't have that? I cannot judge that. Only the Holy Spirit knows if they truly do or they truly don't. All I can say about that is, well, you know, the fruit speaks for itself. And if I'm seeing something that seems to be contrary to God, then I can point it out. All I can do is point out Scripture and say, this is not scriptural, the way that it's playing out.
Drink water.
And therefore, if it's not scriptural, you might want to go back to Scripture and find out what is wrong with the church that it's going on in or the person that it's coming from. See, we want to do this carefully. We want to be very careful about this and not call out whole denominations, not call out people and say, you're not a Christian. Not call people out and say, well, you're demonic because those spiritual gifts don't exist. Can't do that. What we can do is say, this is what Scripture says, and we must be careful to go according to Scripture. This is what Paul did, you see. All he did was say, listen, this is what God says. Be careful to make sure that you're following God. Don't get tripped up in the flesh. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and nothing else. Don't call people out. Don't say, well, you must not be a Christian. You must not be part of the body because you're doing this and this. And I don't recognize that gift. I don't recognize that. No. You simply call it out and say, well, this is not going according to how Scripture says it should. Therefore, perhaps you should check and make sure that you are in the body. You should check it. It's not up to me to check it. You need to check yourself to make sure you are in the body. Or go to Scripture and look and see what it says and maybe find out why you're having an issue with this, why you're not following according to what God has said. Is it because you are more focused on self while you're in ministry, while you are at the same time have this gift going on inside, manifesting itself? And we can be doing both, you know. While a gift is manifesting itself, our pride can come up. Our pride can kind of show and say, oh, look at what's happening. Look what's happening. You know, I want to puff myself up a little bit in the midst of this. And so we can sort of then, let's give an example. Maybe, you know, our spiritual gift is healing. And maybe, you know, we're starting, you know, to heal people and stuff. And so then we start to get puffed up by it. And so then we say, oh, you know, so the Holy Spirit hasn't told me to do this, but I see a person out there who's walking with a cane. I bet I can heal them too. See, Christ did not just walk around going, this one and 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 this one. Uh-uh. There were specific people that he healed. And he didn't just run around willy-nilly going, I'm going to grab this and this and this and this person. No, that's not how it worked. There were people who had faith, who came to him and asked to be healed. He didn't go running out into the people, grabbing hold of people and saying, come up here and be healed. See, there's a difference. He wanted the glory to go to God. He wanted the glory to go to the Father, not to him while he was here on earth. He never pointed to flesh. He pointed to God. He pointed to the Father. And that was a model of what we are supposed to do, you see. And this is what we are supposed to do when we are manifesting these gifts, you see. It's always supposed to be pointing to God, giving the glory to God. All right. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. See, so he's saying even if you think that some of these spiritual gifts which don't seem to be quite as great as you are, right? Maybe maybe they aren't as fantastic, right, seeming. Maybe they aren't working miracles. Maybe they're not healing people. But they're still necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. See, those who we think maybe aren't so great, they are still, they are just as good and sometimes greater than us. The ministry that works in them, maybe even greater than those who are healers, those who are evangelists, those who are on the front lines, so to speak. Right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 5, okay? In fact, let's start in verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth. But I forbear lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. See, this is what he's saying here. I need to make less of myself and more of others from God. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. See, when we start to think more of ourselves, we might get that thorn in the flesh from Satan as well, to keep us from thinking more of ourselves and make sure the glory goes to God. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, and this is what he's saying also about even those who have less, seem to have less spiritual gifts. It's more important that we look to the lesser than that we look to the greater. Because when we are looking to the greater, they're more likely to be puffed up. Don't look at all these things that you might be doing in Christ, because you can be puffed up by them, right? Your pride can be can make you swell up, right? So rather than wanting all these great spiritual gifts, just ask God to use you. Just ask God to use you. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. See, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. So those who are lesser actually get more honor. They are the ones that deserve more honor, those who have less. And so those who, it's interesting because we don't even see anymore those few who do such great miracles, those few who heal, you don't even see any honor going to them anymore. They're considered sort of fools. Nobody believes them. Nobody even believes them anymore. And I think, really, that is because pride has become such an abundant thing that God can't even allow us to be seen with such miraculous powers anymore. We know the power actually comes from God, but we're not willing to give the glory back to him for it. We want to be seen as if we have all this power, and it doesn't come from us. It comes strictly through him. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And see, this is how it should be. Parading ourselves back and forth and saying, look at this person, how great he is. No, what it should be is, you know, as a church, this is what we did. And give glory to God for what the church did. What the church was able to do because of God. What he enabled the church to do, the spiritual gifts that he gave to the church so that the church could in return glorify him. The honor should really all go back to God. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Look at the order of that. The people who serve the church are the ones that come first. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Then the more miraculous looking things, the things that are more show-offy, if you will. Miracles, healings, helps, administrations, and tongues. The things that are a little more out there, showing and saying, look, this is what I do. And aren't these the things that we see showing themselves in front of the church? Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? See, this is a rhetorical question he's asking. Of course all do not do this. Not everyone does every one of these things. No. The answer is no. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I will show you a more excellent way. He says, definitely, you should desire the best gifts. But you see, he is going to give you what he believes is going to be the best for bringing glory to him. Not all are apostles. Not all are prophets. Not all are teachers. Not all are workers of miracles. Sure, we should desire to have the best gifts so that we can minister to others for God. But he's going to show us what God says is the best way. The best way. He's going to tell us exactly what is the most important thing about these spiritual gifts, how they are best used. Because when we try, as he's been trying to tell us, when we try to use them for our good rather than the edification of the entire body, the church begins to break down and fall apart. And when we start next week in chapter 13, it couldn't be more obvious exactly what he's talking about, because he says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You see, this is what it's all about. It's that love of God flowing through us and working these spiritual gifts, realizing that it's not for the edification of self. It is all about the love of the church, the love of God. And it goes right back to what Christ said when he said, all the other commandments rest upon these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as thyself. And on these two rests the rest of the commandments, right? This is what happens when the spiritual gifts are used as they're supposed to be. They're used in love with the edification of the mind and the glory of God. Unfortunately, this is what both sides, as I said at the beginning, this is what both sides are doing. One, when it pursues spiritual gifts in order to make the church look extra special. Like, look at us and show and put the emphasis on man and flesh and look at us and look who we are. And the other, when they say, nope, spiritual gifts don't even exist, therefore, look at us and who we are. We don't believe in the Holy Spirit and his spiritual gifts. We don't believe in what God says about that there are spiritual gifts. We have these two sides at war with each other, both of them ignoring what God says. Next week, when we start in chapter 13, and we will get at least part of the way, if not all the way through 14, we will be talking more about exactly why there's really one rule when it comes to spiritual gifts, and that is that it comes from the Holy Spirit, not from us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have your word to answer these questions, that we don't need to go to church tradition. We don't need to go to denominations. We don't need to go to church rules or pastor rules. All we need to do to find our answers is go to the word of God, your word. Thankful that we have it here in black and white. In Christ's name, amen. And we'll see you next week, and we will go further into this. Have a wonderful, blessed week.